It is 8:31. Stay tuned. In this half hour later, I'll be speaking with Rania Masri. She's a professor at the University of Balamand in Lebanon, and she's the media coordinator for the Nahr el-Bared relief campaign. Hey, but before then, I'm really glad to have with me freelance journalist Joshua Kors. He's on the phone. He's a contributor to The Nation magazine, and his article, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits, appeared in the April 9th edition of The Nation. The article investigates the military's personality disorder diagnosis regulation 635-200-513, separation because of personality disorder. Good morning, Joshua.
Good to be with you, Jan.
Hey, I want to start with how you found the story. You were doing a series of profiles of soldiers returning from Iraq when you met John Town, correct?
That's right, that's right. And John's story really just didn't make sense to me. He told me about being struck by a rocket while serving in Ramadi, Iraq, and as a result of his injuries, losing the bulk of his hearing, the Army gave him a Purple Heart to honor his wounds. But when it came time to discharge him, they decided that his deafness was actually caused by a personality disorder, and discharging him that way, they were able to remove him from the military without providing him disability or medical benefits. It seemed like a strange set of circumstances to me, but when I dug in and did a little more investigation, I found out that in the past 6 years alone, 22,500 soldiers have been discharged with this personality disorder, and the cheating those veterans out of their benefits is saving the military $12.5 billion in disability and medical care.
You know, I want to describe, can you describe, just stepping back, the incident that resulted in John Town's loss of hearing? So people have no question about what happened.
He was walking back towards the central office on base in Ramadi when the rocket attack began. He ran towards the office to go for shelter, but he was just feet away from a rocket that exploded and punched a piano-sized hole in the wall just above his head. It knocked him flat, left him unconscious, and when he came to, he was bleeding from the ears and had lost a significant amount of his hearing.
And then the deafness was attributed to a pre-existing personality disorder. Is that the argument?
That's right. There was a whole host of symptoms that came following that rocket attack. Deafness, memory problems, a lot of the details that one would associate with traumatic brain injury, anger, confusion, these sorts of things. And they decided that those came from a pre-existing personality disorder, a psychological condition so severe that if one truly had it, one wouldn't be healthy enough to serve from his very first day. In John's case, like so many others that I researched in my 8 months investigating the story, he had been serving with honor for many years. In his case, 7 years of service and collected a dozen medals for quality performance.
So when you mentioned 22,000 plus soldiers discharged with this diagnosis, there are pretty clear-cut cases, I understand, that that these were not accurate diagnoses, correct?
They are. You know, the military's own regulations prevent this kind of diagnosis and discharge. Soldiers are screened for personality disorder the first day they join the military, so that if they truly had this condition, they would be weeded out before they even became a part of a unit. Soldiers are screened a second time before deploying to Iraq. But in all the cases I looked at, the soldiers were only accused of having this pre-existing personality disorder after they passed that first screening, passed that second screening, and were deployed to Iraq, then came home wounded from service and sought benefits. only after seeking benefits was the pre-existing condition discovered.
So can you talk about the benefit loss, and what then is the veteran ineligible to receive?
Well, if one was diagnosed as having been injured, one would go through a medical board and be given a disability rating. Upon getting a rating, one would be available to receive disability pay for the rest of his life, along with medical care from the VA. The other small print provision jam that really rankles these wounded soldiers is that they have to give back their signing bonus for the years that they're too wounded to serve that are still remaining on their contract. In John's case, like so many others, he found out on his final day in uniform, he actually owed the Army several thousand dollars after having to give back a significant chunk of that signing bonus.
So can you talk about just, you know, how this is affecting John Town and his family and you know, the other, many others?
Town is going through a very rough time. We spoke just days ago, and he has now been fired from his second job for having to go to the doctor too often. They simply couldn't keep around with all the time that he was missing. His wife works at a local factory, a minimum wage job similar to the one that he had, and they're really struggling to, you know, just basically pay the bills. They had their phone shut off, their computer shut off as well. But things are looking up for him in some ways. Following the slew of media coverage that followed my article, the VA has taken a second look at his case, decided that the Army's diagnosis of personality disorder was completely off base, and they are now providing him full medical care. But, of course, as you know, the system is completely fractured. What the VA decides has absolutely nothing to do with what the Army decides. So the VA's doctors can say, you were wounded by a rocket, you have traumatic brain injury, but the Army can stick to its diagnosis of personality disorder and continue to deny soldiers disability benefits.
So the VA has reversed themselves. Is there one more hurdle for John Town, or will he? Did you say he will be receiving his benefits?
There are several hurdles. He's yet to receive his rating. They have decided that the diagnosis was false, and they're now giving him treatment. But we'll see what type of rating the VA does provide him. And, of course, the largest hurdle to go is to see whether he can get that discharge reversed and get disability pay. He's also the doctor he accused of providing this patently false diagnosis is Dr. Mark Wexler of Fort Carson's Evans Army Hospital. John has now filed a complaint with the Colorado Licensing Board to strip Dr. Wexler of his license. That complaint is still in the investigation process.
So do you have a calculation of how much money is, I guess, saved across all of the armed forces?
Yeah.
Due to this diagnosis?
If you look at all of these cases, Professor Linda Bilmes of Harvard University did an excellent study about the finances of the war. And using her figures, we see that the military, over the course of these soldiers' lifetimes, is saving $8 billion in disability pay and $4.5 billion in medical care.
You know, you interviewed a number of soldiers. Can you talk about, in addition to John Town, can you talk about William Woolridge? He had a similar fight with the Army.
William was one of the lucky few who did actually win his fight after stumbling into contact with someone with very high-up VA connections in Washington. He was serving in Iraq when a young girl was pushed in front of his vehicle in a moment that he described as psychological warfare. The girl was just about the age of his young daughter, and he ran over and crushed her to death. Later, he had a schizophrenic break when the trauma of this event really caught up with him. And back in Arkansas, he was haunted by the ghost of this mangled young girl who would come back to him night after night asking why he had killed her. Those schizophrenic delusions were seen as the results of a pre-existing personality disorder, even though he, like the others, was cleared as perfectly healthy to go and serve. He was able to fight that later, and through the Board of Corrections of Military Records, was able to get his discharge changed to secretarial authority, a separate kind of catch-all diagnosis that's to be used when none of the other discharges apply. But the VA, they were the ones that really stepped up in a major way in his case.
Chris Mosher wasn't as lucky.
No, not with the military. But even with the VA, it was quite a fight. As I said, he only got the VA to recognize his wounds. When some of his contacts in Washington were able to pull through for him, they now have him not only as disabled due to service, but 100% totally disabled.
No, Chris Mosier wasn't as lucky with the system.
No. Chris was a case in which that's really a warning to those who are accepting this personality disorder discharge, because when they get the false diagnosis, they don't get the right treatment either. And in his case, the psychological problems he was dealing with following his service, he was ushered out in just a few days due to personality disorder, when really what he had was delusions very similar to Williams. He thought that Iraqis were hunting him back in America, and he decided to solve that problem by committing suicide. This, of course, left his family very angry that he didn't get really the treatment that could have saved his life. And, you know, we've been hearing a lot about soldier suicide in the news recently. A lot of these cases seem to be easily preventable with proper and immediate treatment. That's just not what's happening right now.
Now, your article came out, it was in the April 9th edition of The Nation. Since then, I know you've been in contact with some in Congress. What's going on there, and any new developments to report?
There's been a flurry of action in the Congress. Following my article, 7 senators, including Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Joseph Lieberman, and Senator Kit Bond, called for a congressional investigation of this personality disorder scandal. Senator Kit Bond is the one who's really leading the charge. As you know, he has a personal connection to this war, as his son has served in it. He and others, staff, has sent staffers out to Fort Carson, where Specialist Town was based. And he was able to, his staff found some very troubling signs there, very similar to what I had found myself during my investigation. They have now drafted a letter to the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Robert Gates, and they are asking that Gates look into this scandal. On the other side of the House, we have Congressman Bob Filner, the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Filner is leading the charge to get congressional hearings on this issue. Right now, he's working with the Armed Services Committee to see whether they'll hold joint hearings. And if that doesn't come to fruition, he told me he's prepared to hold hearings with his VA committee alone. This would give these wounded soldiers the first opportunity to stand before the country and tell their own story, something they simply haven't had a chance to do just yet. But, Jan, with all of these developments, it's always, as a skeptical journalist, you have to believe it when you see it. We just don't know what the future is going to hold, either for the congressional investigation or for the soldiers themselves.
Is the support pretty solid? Are people backing away from the issue? How's it going? What's your sense about it?
Well, there seems to be support, but with Washington, at least in my experience reporting on Washington issues, talk doesn't always necessarily translate into action, even with the most earnest of congressional leaders. So we just don't know, but we'll see. I know that the VA groups who have been working with Senator Bond are very hopeful that his actions will come to something significant and something newsworthy, broadening the public understanding of this to the point where it simply can't be ignored by the president, which is what is happening now. You know, you'll recall that President Bush went to Walter Reed and said, "We stand with the soldiers," but he hasn't even recognized this scandal. And the Surgeon General, Gail Pollack, who herself said what she said, she was unaware of this issue, she's really turned her back on the soldiers in an extraordinary way. Her office launched a 5-month investigation of this scandal following being presented with specialist John Towne's case and a stack of others. And at the end of 5 months, Surgeon General Pollack said they had decided that all of the cases were properly diagnosed and were given a thoughtful and thorough review. But I found out with just a touch more reporting that the Surgeon General's thoughtful and thorough review didn't include interviewing a single person, not one soldier. What they did do is go back to the doctor's offices where these false diagnoses were made and basically ask the doctor whether they got it right the first time. The doctor said, yep, we did. And they considered that a closed case. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens at this point. As you know, with the Walter Reed scandal, the Pentagon took two actions. They accepted the resignation of Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, and they hired the public relations firm, LMW Strategies, with a $100,000 no-bid contract to put a positive spin on the scandal. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with Surgeon General Pollack in the wake of this $12.5 billion scandal.
Joshua, this is I'm speaking with Joshua Kors, and I'm just out of time, but I want to encourage our listeners to look for the you can log on to the Nation website. It's the April 9th edition, How Specialist Towne Won a Purple Heart and Lost His Benefits. And thank you, Joshua, and we will kind of keep track of the story, and I'll be in touch. Okay, thank you for speaking with me this morning. It is 8:49. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to find Rania Masri. She is a professor at the University of Balamand and is the coordinator of the NAR Albert Red Relief Campaign. We'll be right back.